Blog Talk Radio.
This is DYAFN. Devil, you ain't fooling no one. Brought to you by Nolly Van Milligan. Blog Talk Radio, back at it again. Compliment to host Nolivet Mill again. True friend, listen in as the healing begin. Once again, kicking Satan smack dead in the chin. Been relieved of his duty, all his works are destroyed. Staying strong in the truth, always walking in joy. Devil use a lie, you ain't fooling nobody with your toys. Strap with KJB, 66 to kill all that noise.
All glory, all honor, all power, all praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to the DYAFN radio program. I am your humble servant, Nylee Vette Milligan. Thank you for joining us today. You know, it's been a while since I've been on the radio. I've had a lot of personal things that I need to take care of, so please forgive me for my inconsistency, but I am back, and I'm very happy to be serving the Lord in this way. Before we get started, you know, of course, I got to give my God some praise. There's no way that we're going to go on the air and we don't do something in order to give the Lord some praise. So right now, let's see, how are we going to praise the Lord today? You know what? We're going to rely on good old-fashioned Canton Joe's. The password is Jesus, right here on the DYAFN radio program.
Yo. We got the slap box with the devil.
said the creator is true. Think about the many deadly situations you've been faced with, but there's only one who brought you through. With a name that's above all nations, haters and fakers and gangsters, cause a prostitute. There ain't another with his eyes on the sparrow like a slip bone and marrow, drawing the army of a pharaoh in the middle of a battle. Let me introduce you to the mighty and majestic kingpin, creator of ripping all heaven. The none of the saints, we go up until the day we fly away and hide away in the secret places. Time to face the fact, those of you try to be Pharisees, you hypocrites trying to battle me and what I believe, I'ma live Jesus Christ. And today my last breath will lead this life, and can't nobody change my mind. I've been refined and redefined by the divine kind of mind. They consider the first created universe, this earth can reverse the curse. No less given by birth, but the curse is from the land that came first. I can understand and I give a praise for what he's worth, cause he saved my life. Ain't another name that can give you life like the name Jesus Christ, and that's real. Woo!
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never did connected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. In his arms, never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh,
beautiful song by gospel extraordinaire Mr. Jonathan Butler. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing, the sweetest thing that I've ever done. That song still touches my heart to this very day. Anyway, on to the subject. The subject today, Christian marriages and adultery. You know, sometimes you have to do controversial topics because in most of these churches, they're not talking about these topics enough. But here at DYAFM, we want to address the tough topics. We want to address these topics to let you know that there are biblical, scriptural solutions that the Lord has provided for us to deal with different situations. Now, Christian marriages and adultery. We're going to go to this article, which came from Today's Christian Women. It's the article is called Why Affairs Happen. I just posted it on Facebook. And this article is by a lady named Cindy Crosby. It says in the article that as many as 65% of men and 55% of women will have an extramarital affair by the time they are 40, according to the Journal of Psychology and Christianity. I'm sorry about that stuff in the background. My baby wanted to talk to me. Anyway, a Christianity Today survey found that 23% of the 300 pastors who responded admitted to sexual inappropriate behavior with someone other than their wives in the ministry. Okay? Now, in Dave Carter's and Duncan Janicki's book, Torn Asunder, Recovering from Extramarital Affairs, Carter notes that adultery and divorce rates in the evangelical population are nearly the same as the general population in the United States. Being a Christian does not lessen our chances of having an affair. Through his counseling experiences, however, Carter has found several shared threads woven throughout the experiences of married couples who became tangled in an affair. These patterns can serve as a warning sign that married couples should be alerted to. Okay? Now, being forewarned is forearmed. So marriage partnership, talk to Dave Carter about what to do whether you are contemplating an affair, having experienced an affair, or even if you've never experienced an affair to impact on your marriage. Now, first question, what types of affairs do Christians tend to fall to? Well, the answer that they have said was all types. There's the class one affair, which is the one-night stand. Then there's the class two affair, of which is a love relationship that starts as a friendship and grows primarily because of a deficit in the marriage. Now, these often have a powerful emotional connection and involved in a shared task of orientation, such as a common ministry or a shared passion. And there is the class three affair, which involves sexual addiction. Now, other addictions often go along with it, and many times there is a history of molestation or sexual activity on the part of the person before puberty. Now, let's talk about another subject. What about the classic midlife crisis that people joke about? Well, in the article, they're saying that they're finding that the types of affairs are happening when men and women are in their late 30s and 40s. There's a pattern to them. Usually, they happen in a marriage when there's little spousal interaction. Maybe the couple does everything as a family, but when the children in the family grow older, the spouses become more vulnerable. Now, let's even elaborate more on emotional affairs. If there's no sex, just the emotional attachment, is it as serious as a sexual affair? Aha. An emotional affair without sex occurs when the two partners share their feelings for each other. These affairs are supercharged with emotion. The sound of her voice, the style of his email, they are all loaded. But if you confront them, they'll insist that they've done nothing wrong. These secret emotional affairs are powerful influences in the individual's lives. They often live in a fantasy world where they imagine what the other party is doing, even while appearing to watch sports or TV or doing some other type of task. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's even go a little further. And I know I keep saying that, but this is a pretty deep subject, and this is a subject that requires a lot of intelligence and spiritual awareness from the Lord himself. Now, going back to the subject, these individuals rob their marriages of emotional energy. They will save topics of conversation to talk over with the people they are having the emotional affair with rather than their spouses. They are also struggling with feelings of betrayal when they have sex with their spouse. Crazy. Let me say that again. They are also struggling with feelings of betrayal when they are having sex with their spouse. But a lot of these emotional affairs remain non-sexual. They are the hardest affairs to recover from because there is no guilt. Okay? Now, here's the ultimate question. Should you always tell your spouse if you're having an affair? Answer is almost always, huh? Remember, marriage is a covenant. Let me say that again. Marriage is a covenant. It is more than a commitment. It is more than a situation. It is a covenant with God. And, well, when you have in these affairs, you've broken it. The other party has a right to know. The only exception to this, there's an exception, is there is a history of violence on the part of the spouse. If she has a gun or if he has been abusive when he drinks, in this case, you will need a professional to help you know what to disclose. Now, let me say something to my Christian brothers and sisters out there. I understand that we as a race, especially black women, we are taught to keep these emotional problems and marriage problems and all of this all to ourselves because it's away from our strength. So let me recommend something to you. Whenever you are in trouble, I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. If ever you are in trouble, if you need help physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, you need to get help from a professional, okay? The Lord also blesses Christian psychologists also. I'm even studying to be a psychologist with an emphasis on Christian counseling at Liberty University because I'm a servant of the people and I want to be able to help people. So please do not carry this burden alone. Seek help. Get help. Bring it out of darkness. Bring it into the light because that's where the Lord is. He is the light. That's where you heal. You can't heal a blessed thing keeping it to yourself. This is the reason why depression and anxiety and suicide is on the rise. Now, going back, let's shift a little bit and go to a different thing. Now, let's talk about scripturally based about adultery. What does the Bible say about adultery? There are five important lessons. Oh, and by the way, everyone, if you would like to call in to the program and you want to make a comment, you can always contact us at 323-417-6701. Again, the number is 323-417-6701. Press 1 if you would like to speak with me, the host. Now, going back to the the five things. Now, this article came from whatchristianswantknow.com. And what this article says is that infidelity.com reports that, I'm sorry about that, infidelity.com reports that 57 of American men and 57% and 54% of American women admit to committing infidelity in any relationship that they have been in. The same site reports that 53% of American marriages end in divorce, and that 74% of men and 68% of women say that they would have an affair if they knew they would never be caught. Lord Jesus. These are depressing statistics to the least, okay, to say the least. Now, let's get to these five important lessons. Number one and first and foremost, adultery is a sin against God and against your spouse, okay? Merriam-Webster's dictionary, online dictionary, defines adultery as voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and someone other than his wife, or between a married woman and someone other than her husband. It is also commonly known in this society as infidelity. In Hollywood, when they do a Hollywood divorce, they... that people are getting divorced because of irreconcilable differences, which is adultery, okay? And I'm so sorry about y'all. You know, I'm doing the broadcast and someone's calling me. But anyway, adultery is not only a sin against one's mate, but it's an attack on the sanctity of marriage and a course of conduct that can cause havoc in many people's lives. Because when you're caught up in the moment of someone, when you are caught up in the situation, you are so caught up in this other person that you do not realize the other people that are involved that you are hurting. You could be hurting your children. You could be hurting people that are looking up to you. You could be hurting your friends. You could be hurting your church members. You could be hurting other members of your family who looked to you to be the good person or the good guy or the good girl or however the case may be. And always remember, you know, this one important thing. Adultery is most importantly a sin against God. Marital failures and many other destructive conditions exist because of sin. They exist because humans have decided that their way is better than God's way. Okay, let me say that again. They exist because humans have decided that their way is better than God's way. They have decided that fulfilling their desires is more important than obeying and glorifying the creator, sustainer of the universe. Nevertheless, the Christian must learn what the Bible says about adultery in order to see it the way God sees it. Only when we change our views, oh glory, to line up with God's views, can we live the full blessed life that He has waiting for us. Now, for those of you that are Bible readers like I am, for those of you that seek knowledge in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, God declared adultery to be a sin deserving of death. You know, you don't have to take my word for that. You can just pick up your Bible and read it. When God set apart a nation to be His special people, He gave them a set of basic guidelines for living. They were the basis for every other law He would give them. These laws were written, a written record of the way God expects His people to behave. These laws were called, of course, the Ten Commandments. The seventh commandment says God gave His people was, "You shall not commit adultery." Now, if y'all want to know where that is, that's Exodus 20 and the 14th verse. God knew the heart of humankind would naturally seek to fulfill every desire that it experienced. Hallelujah. That means every fleshly desire. And God gave these laws to make his holy standards clear. Okay? Now, God views adultery as being a sin so terrible that it is punishable by death. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and adulteress shall be put to death. Now, that's in Leviticus 20, the 10th chapter, also Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter, and the 22nd verse. If we ever think that God takes adultery or any other sin lightly, we should remember what penalties and punishments he assigned to them. Okay? Adultery also is not an outward action. You have heard it that it was said, and Jesus said this, you shall not commit adultery. But what Jesus says, I say unto you, that everyone who looks at a woman or man with a lustful intent has already committed adultery in her or his heart. That's Matthew 27, 5th chapter 27 and 28. This tells us that adultery takes place within the heart, the mind. Because when you're talking about the heart, you're talking about the mind. And it's just as sinful as an outward act. The sin of the mind may not affect as many people, families, and friends as the outward physical act, but it is still a sinful affront to the holiness of God. This applies to the prevalence of pornography in our country, in our culture. Often claimed to be a victimless offense, the damage of pornography does to the heart of the one involved in it, and often to those around him or her, can be just as devastating. Pornography and adultery can often go hand in hand. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 31 minutes left in the program, and I'm going to take a musical break right now. So let's see what we're going to do here. Let's talk about I Almost Let Go. That's by Kirk Carr, and it's a beautiful, beautiful song. If you are having problems with adultery in your marriage, if you're having problems with infidelity in your relationships, don't let go. Throw it at the feet of the Lord and let him deliver you out of it. There are too many of us out there that try to bring ourselves out of things. And my thing is, if you could have prevented it, you would have done it. Please stop trying to self-heal and self-help and turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him heal you. Trust him enough to do it. I Almost Let Go by Kirk Carr.
This song says, right? God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me.
Oh,
God's mercy kept me. Can I get a witness in here that knows about God's grace? So I'm here today. Somebody next to tell me I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank him. Just thank him.
I almost let go.
I've ever heard, and I love playing that song, especially for today's subject about Christian marriages and adultery. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, that song always brings tears to my eyes because I always remember how I almost let go, how I wanted to give up, and the Holy Spirit came into my life, and the Lord just kept me. Ladies and gentlemen, through all kinds of things, through depression and anxiety, not feeling like I'm good enough, pretty enough, didn't have enough money. I mean, there were so many different things that were running through my mind. But you know what? Psalms 118 and 17 is what has maintained me and sustained me. It says in the King James Version, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of our Lord. That is why I love that song so much. I almost let go, but you know what? The Lord kept me. That particular song has a very special place in my heart because my dad, before he passed away, this was his favorite gospel song. And this was a song that a very good friend of mine sung at his funeral. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have about, I'd say about 23 minutes left in the program. The number to call is area code 323-417-6701. Again, the number 323-417-6701. And press 1 if you would like to speak with the host, which is me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just like I bring up these articles about Christian marriages and adultery and all these kind of things, I also want to bring out the solutions, the positiveness of things. So there are 5 of them. Now, here is the first one that I could have just kissed this person for, okay? There are 5 biblical solutions. There are, or better yet, there's just 5 things, 5 important lessons of which the Bible talks about as far as adultery. Here is the first one, and probably one of the most dynamic. Number 1 says, no one is immune to temptation. No one. Not me, not you, no one. Okay? When King David was a child, he slew a giant. Then God chose him to be the second king of Israel. The Bible also says that David was a mighty warrior. That's in 1 Samuel 18:7-8. However, he still fell prey to the fleshly temptation of lust. That's where he beget Bathsheba. We must never think that we have reached a station in life or a spiritual condition where we can no longer be tempted to sin. That's a setup for failure. We must always stay in a close relationship with God so that He strengthens us to resist temptation. We are never strong enough on our own, no matter who we are. And that's so true because, you know, the Lord says that if you lust after someone, you've committed adultery. Well, guess what? I'm an adulterer because I have lusted after a particular gentleman. Now, don't get me wrong. I had all of these things, these ideas, but nonetheless, it didn't matter how I felt. It didn't matter what I thought because he was married. So, therefore, I had to take it to the Lord, lay it at his feet, and I had to do some fasting and some praying for the Lord to shatter the stronghold, destroy the yoke, and lift that lustful burden off of me so I won't go around making any kind of failures. And that includes keeping a covenant about my body with the Lord. I didn't say a commitment. I said a covenant to stay celibate, to abstain until I am married. That is not an easy walk, y'all. That is something I cannot do without the Lord. Let's go to number 2. Number 2 says, stay in the will of God. 2 Samuel, the first verse, says it was time when the kings go out to battle. However, where was David? Again, David stayed behind. He was not where he was supposed to be. Instead of being with the men in battle, as was customary and appropriate, David was indulging in some inappropriate leisure time activity, again with Bathsheba. Many times we are most vulnerable to temptation when we have strayed out of God's will. Oh, my goodness. Let me say that again. Many times we are most vulnerable to temptation when we have strayed out of God's will. Now, let me say this. I am a servant of the Lord, not because I'm holier than thou. It is because I am not holier than thou. And I need the word of God. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need Father God, Yahweh, Jehovah, to keep me in check, and the Holy Ghost to certainly keep me in check. Now, number 3 says, do not let sin dwell within your mind. As David was idly walking around on his roof, he saw a woman named Bathsheba bathing. Immediately, instead of turning immediately away, fleeing from sexual immorality, and by the way, that's 1 Corinthians 6:18, and seeking the face of God, he lingered and let sin take a hold of his heart. Once the sin in his heart had taken hold, he acted upon it. Sin with Bathsheba, and she became pregnant. Now, that's in 2 Samuel 11:2-5. If we allow sin to linger, our thoughts will take root. It's the truth. Now, do not try to cover up sin. Don't do it. Don't justify it. Don't try to act as if you were right for doing it. And definitely don't pretend like there is an explanation for it. Repent and seek God's forgiveness. That is 2 Samuel 11:6-13. I apologize. David tried to cover his sinful behavior by bringing Bathsheba's husband back from the battlefield. David hoped that Bathsheba and her husband would sleep together, and everyone would believe it was this marital union that resulted in Bathsheba's pregnancy. However, Bathsheba's husband refused to lay with his wife while the other men remained on the battlefield without him. It seems like Bathsheba's husband had more morals than King David did in some matters. Whoops. Let me get back to this. Anyway, although David could have confessed and repented at this point, he decided to try another cover-up. He had Bathsheba's husband sent into battle, placed on the front lines, and then abandoned to face death at the hands of the enemy. King David had Bathsheba's husband murdered in hope of covering up his own sinful behavior. An important lesson to be learned from this is that one sin leads to another sin on top of sin, on top of sin, on top of sin, oftentimes worse than the other. Sin, if the sinner does not confess to God and repent of the sinful conduct. Now, let me repeat that because I kind of mixed it up and said it. An important lesson to be learned from this is that one sin leads to another, oftentimes worse. Sin, if the sinner does not confess to God and repent of the sinful conduct. That's Romans 10:19. The last point that I'm going to make, and this is the most dynamic part of all of it. We have about 16 minutes left in the program. The most important part about all of this is that God will forgive even adultery. Let me say that again. God will even forgive adultery. 2 Samuel 12:1-15 tells us that Nathan, that's David's beloved friend, confronted David with his sin. The mighty kind David's heart was broken when he realized how he had sinned against God and grieved God's heart. David repented, asked for God's forgiveness, and guess what? He was forgiven. Today, God offers that same He offers that same forgiveness. When one comes to faith in Jesus Christ by confessing and repenting of his or her sin, God is faithful to remove the guilt, the shame, and future penalty that sin carried with it. By committing one's life to Christ, a person becomes a new creation. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. No longer helpless to resist temptation, but empowered by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. This forgiveness is reiterated in the New Testament by Paul writing to the Corinthians. Recall the verses mentioned earlier in 1 Corinthians, listing some of the sins that will prevent one from entering the kingdom of God. Paul did not leave the Corinthian Christians without hope. The next verse says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. Whether the sin is adultery or something else, Jesus Christ has paid the ultimate price for our forgiveness by his death, burial, and resurrection. No one has sinned too much or too long to be forgiven. Let me say this again. No one has sinned too much or too long to be forgiven. The offer of salvation is for everyone. John 3 and 16, they who is willing to confess and repent of his and her sins and turn their lives over to the Almighty Creator, Sustainer, and Savior of the world, thou shalt be saved. We got 12 minutes left in the program, ladies and gentlemen, so here are my final thoughts. I am, for those of you that don't know, I am a two-time divorced woman. And adultery was a part of the problem in my marriages. And the only thing I will say to you is this. Before I looked at my husband's, and I'm speaking in a very real, a very from-the-heart thing to talk to you women out there about something. When I was married and I was totally in love with my husband, now we had our problems, but let me tell you how the Lord openly rebuked me. The Lord said, "You kept putting him before me." I said, "Lord, I did what?" He said, "You kept putting him before me." I said, "Lord, no, I did not." He said, "Yes, you did." And he said, "I started peeling him like an onion to show you the layers of what you put before me. This is what you did. You did this. This has nothing to do with him. This is what you did. You put him before me, and I wanted to show you what you put before me." Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's like this. Let's just be really, really real. The number one thing that I had to swallow, which was the hardest pill that I had to swallow, was one very simple, cold-blooded, cold-hearted fact that I chose him. When you choose somebody to be a part of your life, you choose them and everything that goes with them, bad, good, or otherwise. The problem is that people don't believe, as the old folks used to say, is courting anymore. You don't get a chance to really know the person to see if they're even suitable for marriage because you're either caught up in thinking you're in love or you're caught up in thinking that you're in lust. Okay? A woman who has a big behind can shake her booty a certain way and bam, you men are gone because you're oh, visual. The woman can't cook. She's not a suitable mother. She can't even help you with the bills or anything. But yet, just because she shook her booty a certain way, you in love. Or you women, the man told you something that you've always wanted to hear. He's tall, he's handsome, he's well built. Here's the bigger one. He's got some cash. And all of a sudden, you in love, he loves me, he bring me flowers, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But he that doesn't make him a suitable husband. Will he take care of you in the crisis? Will he take care of the children? Do you want children by his man? Is he a good parent? Is he a good provider? Is he a good disciplinarian? If the chips were down and something were to happen to you, would he be able to get your back? You know? And to make matters worse, we don't take responsibility for our own actions. It's always them. It is never us. And that's one of the problems in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We never take responsibility for our own foolishness, which is the core of adultery and divorce in Christian marriages. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is this. You know, in recent years, there are a lot of articles who have been absolutely being horrific and criticizing, especially African-American women who have decided to wait on the Lord Jesus Christ to bring them a husband. They have even turned around and totally mocked the church by saying that you are being foolish and stupid and the Lord ain't going to bring you this and this and this and this. I want to take an issue with that. First of all, 9 times out of 10, the people who wrote this stupid article are not Christian. They're probably atheist and agnostic and of other faiths. Okay? Number two, and more importantly than that, absolutely nobody that's an authority about what the Lord can or cannot do when they do not believe in Him. They always say stuff like, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but be aware of people that say stuff like that, okay? Now, being a twice divorcee and having relationships in my past that were either bad or did not work out, I am in no hurry to wait on the Lord and let Him send me the man of God that I am supposed to be with. Because he does and will give me a better choice than I can pick on my own. And even for you people out there that are caught up in your selfishness and self-righteousness and pride, when you've already got a good spouse but they're not good enough for you because they've gained weight or they've lost their job or they've gotten sick or they're not the way you thought they should be, you know what? There's a movie called Temptation, and it was put out by Tyler Perry. I think anybody and everybody that's got a problem with temptation need to look at that movie. It's based on the play The Marriage Counselor with that fabulous Tony Grant. What's up, T? Anyway, the bottom line is that in order to survive your marriage, you must turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that I can make a suggestion, men, you are the priest of your house, pray for and with your wife. Let them do it. I'm not talking to you people that are shacking either. I'm not talking to you because shacking is not of the Lord either. Now, y'all can criticize me all you want to. I can take it because I know what's right in the eyes of the Lord because His word says it. You don't even have to pay any attention to me. I can't send anybody to heaven or hell but myself. But as Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, men, pray with and for your wives and let your children see this. Let your children see you praying for their mother and praying with their mother. Men, pray for your children. Pray with your children. Let your wife see this. Wives, pray with your husband for your husband and let your children see this. This is the very foundation of a Christian marriage. Get together once a week and have a Bible study. Talk about what's going on. Get together with your children. Talk about what's going on with them. What's going on at school? Pray with them. Pray for them. If they've got friends who got problems, tell them to tell their friends to come to you and pray with them and pray for them. These are the mistakes that I have made that I did not do in my marriages. But these are the things that the Lord has taught me since I have been in divorce. I've been divorced for over 7 years, and I wouldn't take away the time that the Lord has given me in order to get me and prepare me for my next husband, if that is to be. So the bottom line is this. The person that you are attracted to, he may be the total package for you. I know the man that I was attracted to was the total package for me. But you know what? It still is not of the Lord. and we must adhere to the Lord's will first. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me here at the DYAFM radio program. It is 3 minutes and 42 seconds left in the program. If there's anybody out there who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I want to open the invitation for you to do it. And do it according to Romans 10 and 9. Not me, not some little pseudo speech that I'm going to make. No. You do it according to Romans 10 and 9. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in your heart. It's twofold. That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, before I go off the air, I want to pray for everyone out there who is having an affair, who is thinking about having an affair, or has not had an affair yet, or someone who is out there who has been hurt and broken because of your marriage. I want to pray for you. I know what you're going through. So let us pray now. Father God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, thank you for the broadcast today. Thank you for using me in this way, Lord, to bless the people of God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every marriage, every relationship that has been destroyed by adultery. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl that has been destroyed, families, people who are facing divorce right now, people who are having problems in their marriage. I pray, Father God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, that they will lay it at your feet, trust you, Lord, to heal. For I know, Lord, that you, once you heal it, it is healed. Once you put it back together, it cannot be torn apart. So, Lord, I give this to you. I give the lust of the flesh to you. I give the adulterous mind to you. I give it all to you, Lord, and I lay it at your feet. Let your will be done. And thank you, Lord, for the many testimonies that are about to come out of this. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus that I pray, amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of the DYAFM radio program. I am your humble servant, Nile Yvette Milligan, and let's end this broadcast with Psalms 100, the third verse. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Special shout out to my brother, Commissioner Ed Gray, and Paula Jam and the crew. They are now the award-winning Commission Radio show. They won their Sharkey Award at the Fishbowl Radio Network Awards. I'm very, very proud of them. Thank you very much for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
This is DYAFM. Wow. Devil, you ain't fooling no one. Brought to you by Nile Yvette Milligan.
It's Blog Talk Radio, back at it again. Compliments to host Nile Yvette Milligan. True friend, listen in as the healing begins. Once again, kicking Satan smack dead in the chin. Been relieved of his duty, all his works are destroyed. Staying strong in the truth, always walking in joy. Devil use a lie, you ain't fooling nobody with your toy.